Turn your Bibles, will, to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Trust you've been praying for me, Lord, to help me to know what to bring and in our afternoon services. And the Lord has been dealing with me about this, maybe not even into a year, about this particular subject. I want to say here right off the bat, I don't come to you as someone that's got this right and under control and doing everything that the Lord says that we should do. I don't come to you as that example of that. I want to be an example of it, but I'm a man and I have failed in it. And as I tell you often, when we do fail, we need to repent of it and take on what the Lord gives us and then move on from where we're at. But we do have a responsibility and we do seek to know what our Lord says about this subject, and we have a great blessing. The Lord really laid that on my heart here in our prayer class, a prayer time that the men had. We were blessed with a lot of children here in our church, and thankful for that. And we prayed for that, not knowing exactly how the Lord would answer it. We've prayed for some time for visitors, and the Lord's given us a bunch of shorter visitors, and we're thankful for that. In that, we have a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility as a church. We've got a great responsibility as parents. We even have a great responsibility as grandparents. And so we need to know what the Lord says about this subject. Very sober passage here in Deuteronomy 21, and we pick it up here at verse number 18, where the Scripture says this: "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear." Very sobering passage. A tough passage for us to receive. Indeed, it is a passage that's given unto the nation of Israel, and we got to understand this. And the thing is, does the Lord change? The Lord doesn't change. His attitude, his outlook, his consideration of things in our lives, and as we walk and as we live, our Lord's position and attitude and thinking does not change. Our situation is not this, though, because we're not Israel. In the day of Israel, the civil and the religious authority were wrapped into one. And the Lord gave Israel what to do as they sojourned and as they came into the land of Canaan and as they were to abide in the Lord's design there until the end of this time. But we know by their rebellion and all that, they lost what the Lord had given unto them for a time, but are now being reestablished and have in the time of our near generation or the generation before being reestablished as a nation. The civil and the religious authority were wrapped into one. Today, our government does not take this position, and that's what we have, is what we have landed here in our government. The thing is this is a very, very troubling thing for a parent, wouldn't it be? Even in that day, can you imagine? Certainly, this is an extreme situation that has been laid out here. But it was the outlook and attitude of our Lord. Look what he says there. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. If there is a son, if there is a child that is so rebellious in this way, to where the parents have tried, we see that there, we have chastised him, they say. This was the testimony. We've chastised him and he will not hearken, he won't listen, and he won't do, he won't obey. It would be a terrible thing for a parent to be brought to this point that they would do that. No doubt a parent in this situation would do everything that they can. You and I know that a parent would do all that they could to train and bring their child into obedience rather than to have to resort to this issue. and this situation. They would, wouldn't they? Of course they would. Because we love our children. And our children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. But this is, for the most rebellious, this is the attitude of our Lord. And our Lord does not change. Our situation in our day has changed. And the thing is our responsibility as parents has not changed. The responsibility of children to hear and to obey and to hearken has not changed. Our Lord has not changed, but so what does He think as He looks on to our children in our day and what we have trained them in and the attitude of their hearts? What is the Lord seeing? What is the Lord thinking about it? What does He think about them and us? Series of messages that we want to bring is this, going to the Word of God and taking a look. And these messages are for everyone in the house, for each and every one of us. We all need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Because we got to remember, all of us are the children of the Lord. And we have a responsibility indeed to our Lord. So a series of messages that we want to consider about these things, and we're talking about the entire range of children from the time that the Lord, they're delivered into our hands and we bring them home all the way to the time that they're raised up and they go ahead and they fly on their own. We're looking at that whole range of time. And we're faced with that here in our congregation. We've got ones that have just arrived on the scene, and we got some in the middle. And we got some that are approaching that time or even in that time of flying and going on in this. So we have that whole range in our church, a great responsibility. And we want to consider the subject, how not to cultivate rebellion in our children. How not to cultivate rebellion in our children. We have that responsibility as parents, as grandparents. As those that are near and around, we got that responsibility as aunts and uncles. We got that responsibility of not cultivating rebellion in our children. Our goal is this. Proverbs chapter 23, as a parent, our goal indeed is this. Brother Solomon writing to his children, the Proverbs are from that context. They are a help and blessing to us. And we can see in the book of Proverbs, Brother Solomon writing to his children, that indeed, because the Scriptures are inspired of our Lord, it's our Heavenly Father writing unto us. He's speaking to us as children. And He gives parents an understanding about the heart of the Lord towards us as children and the heart that we should have to our own children. In Proverbs 23, verse number 26, I believe this is our goal as parents. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I'll tell you what, that's loaded up there with responsibility, isn't it? But the thing is, that's our goal. We need to work not to just get our children's bodies lined up, but we as parents need to work, grandparents need to work, that we have their hearts. Because that's the only thing that's going to be in the end that is going to bring our children to a good way by following the good things of the Lord, their heart. And so that's what we're after, and I believe that is our goal. For this to be effective, my heart as a parent, your heart as a parent must be bent towards our Heavenly Father. And our ways, my ways, your ways, need to be always bent towards His ways. Because if we're saying to our child, give me your heart, then we've got to have something that we can then give them in that. And a good witness and a good example of good things in Christ. Again, I don't stand before you as the example to follow. The Scriptures is the example to follow. I see as I get older the fault that I have as a parent and as a grandparent. And you know what? I want to be touched and changed too by the Lord and what He says in His Word to be a help to this great blessing that we have of these young folks, don't you? We do. It's an opportunity. I was at a church recently and they don't have this opportunity. That really struck me as I was there. They don't have this opportunity that you and I have. They just don't have it. They just don't have any young people. But we've got a great number of young people. We've got a great responsibility. And so may the Lord help us that we be helped, that we have things reaffirmed, and be blessed by our Lord in it. We might look to our Lord and follow Him. In Proverbs chapter 22, right across the page there, this is why that these things are, that this is why the Lord gives parents to children. And we need to remember this. And a thing that I didn't understand as a young parent is that this thing of parenting is a continual, years-long, dedicated, consistent, keep-on-keeping-on kind of process. It's not, and it's over with, and you got it lined up. I thought that it should be that way, but it's not. It's like our Lord dealing with us. And He's not that way with us, is He? He tells us His Word. And oh, how we failed Him. How I failed Him. I won't drag you into that. And you know what? He's long-suffering. He never quits. He can ramp things up, can't He? He knows how to do that. But this is why that we need to have these things and to know these things from our Lord and keep this always in mind. Proverbs 22, verse number 15, familiar hallmark passage. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound up there. I mean, that's what the Lord says, foolishness. Not the right way, not the good thing, not the right path that brings blessing and help and benefit. Says that it's laying around in there and kind of sloshing around, doesn't it? Is that what it says? It says it's bound. You know what it means if something's bound. When I haul stuff on a trailer, I'm poked fun at about it, but I don't want anything coming off my trailer or coming off on the road. So I bind that load on that trailer because I don't want to be kicking it up off the road, right? Foolishness is bound in that heart of the child. Now listen to what the Lord says about it. He says, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And you can go take a look at the Hebrew and take a look at the rod, and it means a stick. That's what it means. It means a tool. And the Lord is not saying, talk to them. Now, we got to talk to them. But the front line about dealing with the foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child is the rod of correction. That's what the Lord says. It's not my idea. It's what the Lord says. The rod of correction shall drive it. Listen, foolishness can be driven away by the rod of correction. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In Proverbs 23, back across the page, in verse number 13, our Lord tells us, withhold not correction from the child. There needs to be correction. Why? Foolishness is bound in the heart. Okay? Foolishness is not bound on their head or in their ear. And we're not talking about the blood pumping muscle, are we? We're talking about right there up against their soul. Who they are. That's where foolishness was bound in my heart. And you know what? This old man still has a tendency to that. Okay? But it's bound right up in there with who they are. Right there, what motivates them and gets them going and revs them up. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He may sound like he's dying. She may sound like they're going to die. But metered out correctly, they're not going to die because they're going to do it right. That's what the Lord expects. He's made a design for that. Thou shalt beat him with the rod. And people get tore up about the terminology. And honestly, I would only use the word beat in a joking sense about this subject. I would use presently and as a whipping or spanking, and we're not talking about with a horse whip. But that's what the language of the Scripture, and don't let the language of the Scripture make us just totally drive off into right field and abandon this whole thing that the Lord's given us. Okay, so we understand it's the translation was in the 17th century, and that was the word that was used there. And we're going to talk about that particular point here in a minute. But the Lord says, thou shalt beat him with the rod, applying it, and shall deliver, he shall not die, verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. It has that connection. To allow a rebel, as we saw over there in Deuteronomy, to go ahead and be rebellious all through their life and come to adulthood, was as in the case that they gave there in Deuteronomy. I think that they're talking about a child that probably got to teenage years or maybe even older. He was at the point of being a drunkard and a glutton. And the parents said, we've not been able to get any headway with him. Here he is. He's a detriment to society. He has not learned to be a good citizen. And we just don't know what else to do. Because he's become an adult, and there he is. And you know what? What would you expect about that rebel in that day of Israel? Would you expect him to be repentant before the Lord, having received the Lord and his word and his way? No. And they took him and they stoned him and he went to hell. Being a rebel. Being a rebel. Do we want our children to be rebels? Do we want our children to go and be raised up in life? And I know this is the extreme, but be raised up in life and go their own way and not have the shaping and the character and the forming that the Word of God gives us to impart unto them and then get on up to adulthood and go their own way and live a life, and die, and go to hell? No, who would want that for their child? Nobody that's sane would want that for their child. The Lord says, don't withhold that correction. Because if you take that rod and use it on him, use that spanking, use that whipping, he's not going to die. The Lord has designed that to do that, make that work, and be well. If thou shalt beat him with the rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell, because thereby he can get the message. The rod and reproof give wisdom, and takes and drives away foolishness. Drives away foolishness. Because you know what? This parent, looking to try to follow the way of the Lord, is going to always bring the accountability that the child has before God. That's what we're doing. As parents, is we're teaching them by their accountability and to us and what the Lord has given us that they are ultimately accountable before God. Why is something wrong? Not because I said it, but because the Lord says it's wrong. Why is something right? Not because this man said it, but because the Lord has said it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, latter part of verse 15. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother, and I dare say his father too, to shame. Because it does. You end up with a rebel. End up with a child that, as we would say, had no raisin. Had no one to guide them. Had no one to tell them the right thing. And we live in a nation today, brothers and sisters, where we're 2-3 generations out where the parents don't even know how to parent. And you know what? It's costing us our land. It's costing us our society. The good brother was telling about he's getting ready to leave the army. And he's got a smile on his face when he thinks about leaving the army. He says the mandate at hand is for the army to have 80,000 soldiers in this year or the coming year. And you know what they're having to do to have that many soldiers that to fill the numbers? They're having to take and lower the standards. Lower the standards. Got to start taking criminals. Got to start taking those that are less knowledgeable and less educated and such. They got to keep lowering the standards. Lowering the standards, because we live in a day that we can't find enough people to fill our volunteer army. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 13, Proverbs chapter 13, relative to this and this foundational, and like I said, there's a handful of messages we're going to be looking to preach, but this is the foundation. This is what the Lord gives us. In Proverbs 13:24, we see here what the Lord says. He that spareth his rod, Proverbs 13:24, hateth his son. Have you heard, spare the rod, spoil the child? Well, yeah, they're spoiled, but the thing is, the Lord says the parent hates them. Hates them. If the rod is spared when it's needed, the parent hates them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, this is not talking about a parent just when they have a whim to smack their child around or do something to their child and that just because they think they might have done something wrong. But this is akin to what the Lord does to us. Because He loves us, He gets on us. And again, that range, we've not touched on that in a long time, but that range of the Lord's chastening upon His children goes from the still small voice of the Lord. You know that, don't you? Jim, you shouldn't have said that. Jim, you shouldn't have done that. Jim, you shouldn't be thinking about that. It goes all the way over to here from that still small voice all the way to the Lord taking us out of this world. To the taking of our physical life because we brought so much shame on Him as the Lord's child and He pulls us out of here. That's the chastisement of the Lord. He can touch our wealth. He can touch our health. He can touch our children. He can touch our family. All that is at His access to chasten His people. And so a parent that loves their child will chasten them as is needed according to what the Lord gives. Chapter 19 of this book, Proverbs 19, and it's this book, the book of Proverbs, is a good book to be in constantly and being refreshed in the things of the Lord that are here. So many things, just living life, are found here in the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Would you believe that children will work both ends against the middle? You know how I know that? Because I did it. That's how I know that. Children are expert at working both ends against the middle. They'll take mama and daddy and they'll take them and they'll work them against each other every chance they get. It's just the way. It's in our nature. We look for the easiest path. We're just like water naturally. We'll just run down the easiest path that we can run down. It's just in us. And that's the reason that the Lord has given children parents. And they need to be chastened while there is hope. When's this time of hope? When they're young. When they're moldable, when they're pliable. Every child is different. And let not thy soul spare for his crying, the Scripture says. You know what we're faced with even yet for the even in addition to the crying? I think we could insert something here. Chasten thy child while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his pouting. Pouting. You know what? Parents want to do well for their children. If a parent loves their child, they want to do well for them. And there is a thing that a parent wants to do better for their child than what they had as a child. But watch out! Because we can take and spoil our children in that. Thing is, a child can go into Poutsville and look and even look to control a family. We've got to watch out for that. There needs to be the rules. There needs to be what the Lord says. And don't spare in that chastening that's necessary while there is hope. And don't spare for their pouting. Don't spare for their cold shoulder. Parents, there's going to be times your child's not going to like you. The thing is, they're your child and you love them. And in the end, they love you. And if you do them well and you and I show them the boundaries as a parent, as a grandparent, they're going to be helped and they're going to be blessed indeed. But you know what? By pouting, by the cold shoulder, A child can take and control a whole family. You've maybe seen it in Walmart. That little short sucker will take and run that whole family ragged. You've got people that are grown and can't control that little two-year-old child. Now, it's upside down. It's upside down. They've not taught that child how to take their place and be the in the place that they have. Let not thy soul spare for his cold shoulder. We're not to be our children's friend, but to be their parents. That's what we're called to do. I want you to consider this. It's something that I trust the Lord's laid upon my heart. As parents, hear this, we are in the shadow of God unto our children for a very short time. It's like the Lord is here and the Lord's the giver of life and our child is there, if you will, here in the front of the auditorium, and the shadow of God is there upon them. And I don't mean that in an ominous, menacing way. I mean, they are responsible to the Lord, and it is the Lord to whom they need to repent and they need to believe and trust in Christ when the Lord brings them to that time where they can understand and reckon those things. There's no set age for that. But that Lord is there, and He is the giver of life, and His shadow is cast upon the individual. And here's the parents, for a time that are there in the Lord's shadow to be a minister unto those children of the one ultimately they will give answer to. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, this is a short time. And the thing is, it's sad to say, we don't realize how short of a time it is till we start getting to the end of that time. We are in the shadow of God unto them for a very short time. Let not thy soul spare for his fit throwing. We've seen that. Policy needs to be no fits allowed. Because a good citizen doesn't throw a fit. If I got up here and just threw a big old fit before the Lord, how would that be? If I went over there in the privacy of the parsonage and threw a big old fit before the Lord, how would that be? Fit throwing is not allowed. You don't throw fits. You don't throw fits. Is the Lord honored by a fit? Not at all. Chasten thy child while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his pouting, his cold shoulder, his fit throwing. Here's another one for you. Let not thy soul spare for his wrath. Children can control a family with their wrath. You got the whole combination of different people or different ways. Parents are made up the way they're made up. Children are made up the way they're made up. And you and I know that we can have a child that is just so strong-willed and that, and they're just wrathful when they don't get their way. And they make everybody in the house miserable. And they control things. And you know what? Children develop tactics to control things. Children develop tactics to get response that they want. And by their wrath, a parent will back off, looking to just try to keep a peace, while that child just goes on off their own way, thinking that they're the parent, thinking that they're the ones that run the show. Now listen, we know, and nor am I, we're not talking about or condoning the beating, the pummeling, the punching of a child. When the Scripture says, beat him with a rod, he's talking about the rod of reproof to the seat of correction. For those little tender legs that can bear a sting. That's what we're talking about. The Scripture is not talking about a brawl or a fight with our children to correct them. You start off having a brawl and a fight with your children to correct them when they're young, it's going to get rough when they turn 16, 17, 18. And what a terrible thing for a child to have to be, a father having to face to be punching out his son to get things under control. You don't want to have that. Needs to start young. Needs to start young. Needs to start right. Needs to be in the order that the Lord gives us. See, the Lord says that this rod of correction needs to be applied to the seat of this rod of correction. Needs to be applied to the seed of education, the seed of correction, to their bottom, to their legs, and it needs to be in control. 1 Corinthians 6, let's be reminded what the Lord says about we who are saved. and how we need what we've been saved from and how we need to behave. Again, we're not talking about condoning the beating, the pummeling, the punching of a child, the brawl with our children, a fight to correct them, because we've been saved from that kind of thing. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This word revilers is talking about abusers. We've been saved from that. And so we don't need to abuse our children in any way, but we need to follow the pattern that the Lord has given to correct and chastise our children. Revilers, abusers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians chapter 5. Parents, we need to remember that we've been called to a better thing, even in the correction of our children. In Galatians 5, verse number 19. Here's the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, shown forth, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. It's talking about hostility. A child should never be corrected or chastised in a hostile way. The parent needs to be under control. If you and I are not under control, we just need to leave it alone for right now. But don't forget. Don't forget. One of the tactics that I used with our children when we were out and they crossed what Clarissa and I gave them to obey in, I would tell them, when we get home, remind me. See, that right there was chastisement in and of itself. That they had to remind Clarissa or myself to face the music when they got home about how they got out of line. And then you can deal with it well. The Lord says in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh are manifest. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, or hostility, variance, emulations, wrath. We're not to be wrathful towards our children. This word wrath is talking about anger with legs on it. I like that definition. Or passion, or fierceness, or rage. Don't ever look to chasing a child in rage. That's not going to accomplish the end that we need, that we want, that the Lord's design is. Does the Lord lose control when He chastens us? He doesn't lose control, does He? He's very much under control. And in His long-suffering and on His patience, He yet metes out the punishment that we need in a very controlled and a very right way. We go on to see here strife, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's what we've been saved from. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We've been saved from that. Even in the disciplining of our children, we need to leave those works and ways of the flesh alone. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. Brother Jim, are you telling me that in the fruit of the Spirit I can chastise my child? Amen. That's what we're called to. Do you think that the Lord resorts to those other things that are the fruits of the flesh in His chastisement of us? By no means. But He is the Spirit. And that's how He chastises us. And that's how we need to chastise our children. It goes on to say here, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, list previously in verses 19, 20, and 21. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And you know what? Let us correct our children in the Spirit too. Because the Lord, if our children need corrected, is the Lord to give a pass on that or a buy on that? A mulligan on that? No, if they need corrected, He wants them corrected too. That's what we need to do. But not with wrath. not with anger. And indeed, our children may disappoint us, but the thing is, we need to remember how the Lord deals with us. The corporal punishment of our children is not to be a brawl laced with wrath, rage, and hostility, but out of love, long-suffering, and patience, administer what is right to their backsides so that we may have their undivided attention. See, that's really the issue, is the gaining of the attention of the child. Have you seen our children? And it's that way, and I just mean our children. A child is so distracted, they've got everything going on. Children are different. And the thing is that, let me pose this to you. Say something to a child, and then they wander off and drift off, and they're doing something else. You've instructed them to do something or not do something. They go over there, wandering around over there, and then you remind them, and they say, "Oh, yeah, I forgot." There might be some children here that knows that very thing that I'm talking about. "Oh, yeah, I forgot." Now, listen. They don't forget what they watched yesterday. They don't forget every detail about the game that they play. They don't forget about where their toys are at and all that kind of stuff. They don't forget about maybe some promise that a parent made in haste about going to some restaurant at a certain time, at a certain day, at a certain place. But they forgot that. What's needed is their attention. And correction brings their attention to the things that the authority has said needs to be done, obeyed, or stayed away from, right? Remember a lot of things, but that attention needs to be. Out of love, we need to chasten our children. Out of love, long-suffering, patience, to administer what is right to their backsides, so that we may have their undivided attention and cultivate a good memory on their part to remember the instruction we have given them. Sometimes it's going to take reminding and reminding and reminding and reminding and reminding and reminding and reminding. Some children are different. But don't spare for their crying. Don't spare for their pouting. Don't spare for their wrath. But stay at it in a right, good way. All these things are at hand. And our Lord tells us, as we read earlier there in Proverbs 22, about this of foolishness. And the Lord has given children to parents to guide them and to for them to submit to and to be trained and to be taught, so we don't come to this that we see in Psalm 14. In Psalm 14, this passage, it's reiterated also in Psalm 53. I trust that you're familiar with it. And if foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and it's allowed to stay there until the time of their consciousness and understanding about being before God, and they die with that foolishness bound in their heart, we end up with an adult or one that is accountable before God, if you will, in this. Psalm 14, verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God." There's no God in my responsibility to obey my parents. There's no God in my responsibility to obey the law of the Lord. There's no God in my responsibility to be a citizen of the place where I'm at, the country, the region where I live. I have no responsibility because I say no God to everything. The fool says no God. It's a sad end to think of that for a child, your child, my child, the child that we love, the child in our midst, that they come to that place, that foolishness still bound in their hearts, and they say, no God. And so may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. The fool has said in his heart, no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. In Proverbs 14, and we close, Proverbs 14, see, this is what's bound, and this is the end of that foolishness bound in us as we arrive here on planet Earth, or we hit the air here in planet Earth, and the Lord's design for the family, for the home, for children to have parents, to instruct them, to teach them, to rear them. This foolishness remaining bound in their heart to where they deny their very God. Remember how I said that a parent stands in the shadow of the Lord before their children for a time? And then in time, it's going to be them and the Lord, the parents out of the mix when they hit adulthood. The parent can still tell. The parent can still be a witness. But the thing is, when they come of age, whenever that is, for that individual, it's them and the Lord. It's them and the Lord. And they're accountable to the Lord. And the time that the parent has had to train them and teach them in that is over. Because see, here's how it is in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It makes sense for the child to follow his foolishness bound in his heart. But you know what? It's the way of death. It's the way of death. How do you and I know about our children when they were so little and they would have touched and dealt with so many things potentially that were dangerous? They didn't know to not walk off the steps, the stoop. They didn't know to stay away from this, stay away from that. And we were given to the Lord to guide them. But yet that foolishness bound in their heart as a child, and they go on into adulthood and they think they know the right way. They've not listened to their parents. They've not listened to the Lord. There's a way that seems right unto them with that foolishness, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This same scripture is also repeated in Proverbs 16:25. Two times over about the fool. Two times over about the way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How to not cultivate rebellion in our children. You pray that the Lord will help us and bless us together. Again, these messages are for all of us. Next time, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at this subject of rebellion and stubbornness. Rebellion and stubbornness. And see what the Lord has to say about it.